comfort them. We pray that you would just, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to them in a mighty way, bring them peace that only you can, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that we have you as our comfort. And we pray that if they don't know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, that you would use this season in their life to turn their eyes to you, and that they would find grace and peace and comfort and the hope that one day there will be no more death and no more tragedy in you alone. God, we love you, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. As you go there, I want to kind of give you some information. Dustin already mentioned Wednesday nights. We are now fully, I guess you would say, open on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights at Eastside now. Amen? And so what that means for Wednesday nights is we have our adult Bible study in here. You've seen kind of a shift. We've kind of incorporated more prayer into our time together on Sunday morning. And on Wednesday nights, for now at least, it's going to be kind of a Bible study format. We're going to gather, we're going to pray, and then we're going to spend 30 or 40 minutes just studying the Word of God in here in the sanctuary as adults. Anybody can come to that. You don't have to sign up. All you need is a copy of God's Word and the ability to show up. If you can't be here, or if it's just not a good idea for you to get out in public right now, you can join us online through Facebook or YouTube, or we even have the ability now for you to call a phone number, type in a code, and you can hear through your phone, even if it's a landline, through your phone, our Bible study on Wednesday night. So however you can join us, we would love for you to join us on Wednesday nights. And if you have children or older students, 6th to 12th grade students, we have our student ministry meets upstairs on Wednesday nights. They worship and study the Word together. And then we just kicked off our new e-kids ministry on Wednesday nights, where our children, pre-K through 5th grade, worship together, study the Word together, learn about missions together. And all of that starts for our students and our youth at 6:15. Our adult Bible study starts in here at 7:30. And we feed our students and our children at 5:45. And if you're an adult, you're welcome to join us. You just need to let us know by Tuesday at noon that you'll be here to eat. We're just doing a small snack supper. Like last week, it was a sandwich and chips and a bottle of water. This week, it'll be a hot dog and chips and a bottle of water. But if that suits you and you would like to eat with us on Wednesday night and you're an adult, all you need to do is let us know that you'll be here and we'll have enough food for you. There's no cost. Just got to show up. If you have children, you just got to get them here at 5:45 and there'll be food for them, okay? You guys got that? 5:45 on Wednesday nights, e-kids and student ministry kicks off at 6:15, and adult Bible study at 6:30, and everything is over at 7:30. You can go home and get ready for the rest of your week, okay? So just wanted to make you aware of all of those things. Now that I'm done chatting about that, you should have had ample time to get to Romans chapter 5 in your copy of God's Word. I want to go ahead and read two verses that we're going to be looking at here. I want to say a couple of words about those, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into the meat of these two verses. Turn your attention to your copy of God's Word, Romans 5, verses 1, and most of verse 2. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand." So chapters 3 and chapter 4 of Romans explains to us how God makes sinners righteous through faith in his son Jesus. and just to hit all the bases very quickly so we're all on the same page, what those two chapters explain to us is this, that we as sinners deserve God's wrath. We've rebelled against God. We've acted as enemies against God because of our sin. But God in His love and His mercy and His grace sent His Son Jesus to us. He put on flesh to live as we live in our world, was born into our world. The difference between Him and us, though, is that He lived a perfect life in our place. We sin, Jesus did not. And so He has kept the law fully. He does not deserve death, though we do. But Jesus went and died on the cross for whoever would place faith in Him. And He takes their sin upon Himself as if He was the sinner. And He places His righteousness upon them as if they had lived His righteous life. And we know all that to be true because 3 days after He died on the cross, He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. He's reigning at the right hand of the Father today. And we preach the gospel. We preach what God's word teaches us, that anyone who places faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins will be forgiven, brought into God's family as His son or daughter, and be reconciled to God. They will be moved from enemy of God to child of God. So when in these verses, when we see the word justified, it's talking about the process of God making us righteous, justifying us. And this verse 1 says, therefore, since we, so He's talking about the church, He's talking about Christians, since Christians have been justified by faith, so not that any, but not by anything we've done, but by what Jesus did in His life, death, and resurrection. We place faith in what He's done, not in anything that we've done or could do. Since we've been made right with God by faith. And then He goes on to explain two extraordinary blessings of this justification that we have in Jesus Christ. And that is what we'll see in these two verses this morning. So bow your hearts, pray with me. Let's ask the Lord to open our eyes to the truth of His word. Open our hearts to the truth of His word and to who He is for us. If you're here and you're not a believer, you're not a Christian, I want to challenge you. Pray this with us this morning. Say, God, if you're real, if these things are true, open my heart to believe your word this morning so that you might become His child also. So pray with me. Father, we adore you. We love you. We thank you so much that we can gather together in the same place at the same time. And even some of us by radio or by internet can gather with us and sing to you, sing your praises as your children. God, we thank you so much that as your children who are walking in the footsteps of your Son in this broken world, that we can gather together and bring our prayers and our petitions, our worries, our fears, our concerns to our Father, our Heavenly Father. And you hear us, you care for us, you love us, you take care of us. And Lord, now we come before your word, under the authority of your word, and we want to understand it better. We want to see it more clearly. We want it to shape our hearts and our minds and the way that we live our lives Sunday through Saturday every week. And so, Lord, we pray that you would do that right now. For those of us who are Christians, we pray and ask that you would give us a better understanding, a clearer picture of all the things you have done for us in your Son, Jesus, that we might fall even more deeply in love with you. Be even more mesmerized by your glorious grace in your Son, Jesus. And Lord, for those of us who may be here, may be listening, that are not Christians, that are highly skeptical, Lord, we pray that you would open their eyes to your truth, and they might come to you in repentance and faith this morning, experience the same forgiveness, the same justification, the same peace, and the same grace that we've experienced in Jesus. Lord, we ask for these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all ready? Two pieces of truth this morning. Look at verse 1 with me. We're going to read it one more time. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, so he's talking about Christians, he's talking about the church, he's talking about those who have placed faith alone in Jesus. So if you have done that, this applies to you. If you have not done that, this can apply to you if you place faith alone in Jesus. So therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So really, two blessings we're going to see that God gives those who place faith in Jesus this morning. The first one is this: peace. Since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God, and he reiterates the object of our faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we have this peace? We have it by placing faith in Jesus. Not faith in just any religious leader, not faith in just any religion, not faith in ourselves to do better and not do bad, but faith in Jesus. Since we've done that and we've been justified by that faith, we have peace with God. Now let's think about this for a second. What is peace? Peace, in the most basic definition, is the absence of something, right? It's the absence of conflict, the absence of war, the absence of enmity. So you and I, as Christians, have peace with God through our faith in His Son. In other words, there is no longer enmity between myself and God. And if you're a Christian, you and God. Not because of anything you've done, but because of your faith in Christ. Romans 1:18, maybe we can think of our lives prior to knowing Jesus, and it'll give us a more clear picture of this peace. Romans 1:18, the beginning of this book, describes the situation of all unbelievers outside of Christ. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." He goes on to show us that all men are sinful, unrighteous, and unjust, and ungodly. So all men are under the wrath of God if they are not in Jesus, if they have not placed faith in Jesus. So at one time in my life, that was the case for me. I was under the wrath of God. At one time, if you're a Christian today, at one time in your life, prior to you placing faith in Jesus, you were under the wrath of God. And you faced an eternity paying for your sins. You would eventually be separated for all of eternity from all that is good, chiefly God Himself, in hell for eternity. We were all under that wrath, heading in that direction. But by grace we've been saved through faith in Jesus. And part of that salvation is that we're no longer under the wrath of God. We are no longer rebelling against Him. We're no longer enemies of God. You look at Romans 5 a little later on. Romans 5:10 says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son." We were enemies of one another and enemies of God prior to placing faith in Jesus. Some of us, that makes us uncomfortable because we don't like to view ourselves as having been once an enemy of God. But this is not our opinion. This is the truth of God's Word. Outside of Christ, we were once enemies of God. Outside of Christ, we once rebelled against God. And if today you haven't not placed faith in Jesus, I want to lovingly tell you that if you haven't, you, according to God's Word, are an enemy, a rebel against God. But this verse tells us good news, that by faith in Jesus, we can have peace with God. In other words, in Jesus, all that conflict between us and the God who created us, all the sin that we committed against Him, all the thoughts, all the words, all the actions, they're forgiven. And we have peace with God. We need to ask the question, what does this peace look like practically in our lives? How does it play out? How does it affect us each and every day? Like, it's a nice spiritual truth to think about that, but what does it look like in our lives? I would say two ways. One is that we have as Christians, we have an inward peace now because we know that we have a peace with God for eternity, like an everlasting peace. So there's peace that we'll experience in heaven that we're not experiencing now. The Old Testament points to this. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7 says, "For us, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So that those two verses there are pointing to Jesus and Jesus' reign. He will be known as the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Later on in Isaiah 32:18, it says, "My people will abide in a peaceful habitation, a secure dwelling, in a quiet resting places." Pointing to our future in heaven, God, the future of God's people in heaven, a holy, peaceful habitation. That's our future if we're in Christ. Isaiah 48:22 says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." So the wicked won't experience that peace, but those who belong to God, those who have placed faith in Jesus, will experience that peace one day. Ezekiel 37:26 says, "I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will set them in their land and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever." If we fast forward to Revelation 20:21 and 22, we see that reality coming true for God's people. God says, "I will be in their midst. I will be their God. They will be my people with me forever." We have that future awaiting us. And there will be a real, true absence of death, absence of sin, absence of tragedy, absence of conflict among people, among nations, absence of war when we get there. We get to look forward to that peace. And so we have a peace now in our hearts because one day, as crazy as 2020 has been and probably will continue to increase in craziness, like, we have a peace because we know one day we will be with our Lord in heaven with Him, and there will be complete peace. So we have peace in that way, but we also have another kind of peace right now. We have a relational peace with God that we get to enjoy now. And really and truly, if you dive into the true, like the peace we just talked about, this verse, of course, points to that. But really and truly, like the context of this verse truly points to our relational peace with God here and now. Do you know that one of the most penetrating questions you can ask a man or a woman is, do you have peace with your Creator? And do you know that they know that the answer to that question like that? They may not tell you the truth, but they know the answer to it. And you walk in and you sit down with somebody who's sick and you can ask them that question and they'll tell you, yes, I do. I do. I've placed faith in him. He's forgiven me for my sins, and I'm ready. They'll tell you that if they're a believer in Christ, because they have relational peace with God. They know that their enmity towards God, their rebellion against God, has been forgiven by God because of their faith in Christ. They know that, and they know that their Lord loves them as his child. They have been moved from enemy to child. They know that, and they have that peace in their heart. But for the person that doesn't have peace with their Creator, they can also tell you. And I asked a man about 18 months ago, do you have peace with God? And he said, no, I really don't. Do you know how you can have peace with God? I mean, I've gone to church, but I'm not sure. And I got to share with him that there was nothing he needed to do other than place faith in Jesus and repent of his sins. There was nothing he needed to do. And he gladly did that because he yearned. He knew in his heart he did not have peace with God, and he knew in his heart he wanted peace with God. And this was one of the most wonderful blessings of being a Christian, is that when we place faith in Jesus, is that we know assurance upon assurance that with our Creator, we were once an enemy. We were once rebelling against him, but he has gladly forgiven us and made us his child as a result of our faith in Jesus. Isn't that good news? Here's the thing about this peace. If you can just entertain thinking about this for another moment. If I can get my Bible to stop turning pages on its own. People know and yearn for that peace, that relational peace with God. They yearn for it. And we see people right here in Cairo, if we travel the world, we would see the same thing across the world. People yearning to have peace with their Creator, and we would find the most religious of those people working all day, every day to obtain that peace with their Creator, hoping that they have done enough to make their Creator happy with them, so that if they died, they might stand before their Creator and have peace with him because they had done enough. That's religion. They work, hoping to please God enough that he would forget their sin and they would have peace with them. We see some people striving to numb the absence of peace with their Creator. They know they need it. They know something's wrong. They don't know how to get rid of it. They believe that they can never be forgiven by their Creator. So they spend their days and their nights trying to numb that absence of peace in their life with God. And sometimes that takes the form of substance abuse. Sometimes that takes the form of someone jumping from one romantic relationship to another, just trying to fill that void, trying to numb out the pain of the absence of peace with God. Sometimes that takes the form of busyness. Sometimes that takes the form of numerous different things. But ultimately what it looks like is a miserable person that has no peace with their Creator trying to find peace in the things of this world. And it's sad. Because they know they don't have any peace. Sometimes it takes the form of people in our world today just denying the fact that they need peace with their Creator. And they do this oftentimes by just denying the existence of a Creator. So the atheist might say, I don't need peace with God because there is no peace with God. So no matter how hard their heart yearns for peace, they just try to convince their hearts that they don't need peace because there is no God to have peace with. And sometimes we're seeing this today among the LGBT community. And again, it's sad. I don't say this to harp. I just say this so that we can see what's happening. We see the LGBTQ community asking the church to accept them for who they are. And what that truly is them hoping for the church to say, you know what, you're okay with God, you have peace with Him. You don't need to repent, it's all okay, you have peace with Him. They're yearning for peace with God. And they want to hold on to their lifestyle and the things that the world's told them to be okay with. And they want to have peace with God without repenting. And the sad thing is, some churches have bowed to this and have begun to say, yeah, you're fine with God. And it's a lie. They won't find peace until they repent and place faith in God. And that's true for any sinner, by the way. That's just an example of one community that we've done this with. But any sinner or group of sinners that come in and say, I want peace with God, and we ignore their sin and don't call them to repentance, we've done exactly what they've asked us to do, which is don't call me to repentance, just tell me I'm okay with God. And here's the thing, like, no matter where we go in the world, it looks different ways, but people all over this world, including here in Cairo, are yearning to be okay, have peace with their Creator. In church, we have to be very crystal clear on this. Our Creator wants peace with them. He desires for all people to come to repentance. And the message to ourselves and to all others, regardless of what their sin is or sins are, is turn from your sin and place faith alone in Jesus. And by faith, look at verse 1, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can have that peace that you're yearning for. You can have it. Man, it is so good when you do have it. Amen, church? So, truth, peace, one. The Christian is no longer an enemy of God. There's an absence of conflict, absence of enmity, absence of rebellion. God now sees us as His child. If this is you and you're not a Christian today, we offer this to you, man. In Jesus, He's so good. God loves you so much. He sent His Son to die for you. Won't you respond to Him in repentance and faith today and have this peace that we're talking about? This brings us to verse 2. It continues. So we see peace, and then we see a second thing in verse 2. Through Him, Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith. In the same way we get peace, we get this access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So Christians are not only no longer enemies of God, but the Christian now has the full benefits of being a child of God. just break this verse down. Through him we have also obtained access. So at one point, prior to placing faith in Jesus, we were locked out of whatever this verse is talking about. We did not have access. But now we've obtained access to this. And this access that we now have is permanent. We don't see it in the English, but in the Greek, it's something called the perfect tense. And it means that it's been done. It won't be undone. We have obtained permanent access to something by faith in Jesus. But what? Into this grace. We often talk about God's grace as this thing that he gives us. And it is a thing that he gives us. It is his unmerited favor, his undeserved love that he pours out on his children, his people. But in this context, it's talking about grace as if it's a place, as if it's a relationship. Like we've obtained access into this grace, into this relationship with God, where he pours out his unconditional love on us, his unmerited favor upon us. We think of the way parents treat their children on their children's birthdays. They give them presents, not because they've been a golden child all year, not because they deserve a new remote control car, just because they love them and it's their birthday, so they give them grace in the form of birthday presents, right? So this is what it's talking about. We've obtained permanent access into this grace, into this relationship with God. As a Christian, you now have a relationship with God, a permanent relationship with God, in which you have God's unmerited favor, his unconditional love. You get to enjoy his initiative in your life. The alternative to this is that there is a king. He is the King of Kings. He is our creator and the creator of all else. And we don't have access to him. The alternative is not only do we not have access to him, but we are his enemies. And if we dared walk into his courts, covered by our sin and our rebellion against him, it would not go well for us. But by his grace and his mercy, he sent Jesus, and in Jesus, we have permanently obtained access into a relationship with him where we get to enjoy his love, his mercy, his kindness, and all the benefits of being his child. We have obtained access into this grace. We've gone from being a rebellious peasant to the child of the king that enjoys the constant presence of King Jesus, the constant favor of King Jesus. He loves us. He wants to bless us. And he does. This is a question. Is this something that we wander in and out of? Do we just go in and out of this relationship? Do we just go in and out of the presence of our Creator, our God, who's saved us? He goes on in this verse. He says, obtained access into this grace in which we stand. No. We come into this relationship and we stand there. And notice, he's talking about this relationship as if it's a place. Like, a place where a Christian lives and works and eats and breathes and sleeps. In the presence of their Heavenly Father, enjoying his favor and his grace and his mercy and his love. The Christian stands in this grace. So not only do we have peace, like the absence of conflict with God, but now he has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from the kingdom of being rebelling against him into his family as his children that enjoy him being our Father who loves and adores us. We've obtained access into that grace, and we now stand in it. It's a nice spiritual truth, right? We sing about it, but what does it practically mean for us? And I want you to think about it this way. This is a spiritual reality for the Christian. A spiritual reality for the Christian. God's word gives us a lens to view our lives in this world. And he's given us a lens in Romans 5, 1 and 2 to look at our lives and see where we stand with God now that we're in Christ. And here's the spiritual reality of our lives if you're a Christian, if you place faith in Jesus. You can, at any time, in the presence of your Heavenly Father who loves you, you can praise him at any time. The spiritual reality is you are in his presence 24/7. You can praise him. You can thank him. You can talk to him. Oh, okay. It's just a phone. I was making sure it was not like an alarm in the building. Okay. Sorry. Got distracted. This grace in which we now stand is a spiritual reality for us. It's really and truly true for you if you're a Christian. You are truly in the presence of God where you can talk to him about anything at any time as his child who has his favor resting on you. You can go to him on behalf of others at any time. You can go to him on behalf of the huge world problems we face in 2020, you can go to him to help you figure out how to get the groceries and how to be in another place at the same time. You can go to him about the biggest things, about the smallest things, as your Heavenly Father who loves you, who you stand in his presence 24/7 now. You can go to him when you're worried or scared, when you're planning your day, your week, your month, your year. You can go to him for comfort. You can go to him when you need strength. You can go to him when you need wisdom. You can go to him when you need a friend. You can go to him when you need to just sit with him. You can go to him when you need someone to listen. You can go to him when you need someone to speak truth to you. This is a spiritual reality for a Christian. Christian, you eat, sleep, drink, work, live in the presence of God in this grace in which you now stand by the grace of Jesus. You live in the presence of God. You have access to your Heavenly Father's throne. He is with you. He favors you as his son or daughter. And he has called you. He's obtained access permanently for you into his presence as his child. Into this grace in which we now stand. That is your spiritual reality. You need strength, you go to him. You need patience, you go to him. You need wisdom, you go to him. And he's there, waiting to give you exactly what you need. Turn your attention to Romans 5, 1 and 2 one more time. Let's read it. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of glory, of the glory of God. If you have prayer needs, we're going to close with a song. The song is a prayer. I'm going to invite you to sing it and pray it from your heart as we sing this morning. If you have other prayer needs, we'd be glad to pray with you. You're welcome to come forward. The altar's open. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, you can come forward as we sing, or you can wait till after the service over and find myself or Pastor Robbie or Brother Dustin, and we'd be more than happy to sit down with you, show you in the Word what it means to turn to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and live in this grace we're talking about today. Let's pray. Father, we love you.